Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, which is part of the DraftKings Network pregame power-up. Airs every Sunday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time here throughout the NFL season. Three shows, 5 hours, all-you-can-eat game day prep built for all-in NFL fans and passionate fantasy and sports bettors. For those watching on VSiN, you can find DraftKings Network on your smart TV. Just download the Roku channel, Samsung TV Plus, or Zumo Play. Femi Abebefe here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. And Michael, let's kick off hour number two with game 272, Sunday Night Football, AFC East on the line between the Buffalo Bills and Miami Dolphins. Right now, Buffalo, a 3-point favorite, total 48.5. We touched on the injuries in hour number one here, but just when you look at this game and how these two teams fit together, how do you see this playing out?
Well, look, last week we saw Miami. When they lost Xavier Howard, it all went to hell on them because they couldn't really defend man-to-man. They couldn't play the coverages they wanted to play. Ramsey could, but they didn't have another corner that really could play well. Now they're playing against a Buffalo team that's 23rd in passing success rate. For all the conversation about how good they look since Joe Brady's took over, it's really been more about the ground game than it has been anything. So they're 15th in dropback EPA. They're 12th overall in EPA per play. This is not an explosive offense. I mean, last week they were given gifts by the Patriots in field position. So, you know, they're going to have to play better offensively. They're going to have to show that they can get the ball to Diggs. Last week he had 46 yards. That's all he had. And, you know, they'll do a good job of taking it away. The hard part for Fangio is going to be how does he stop Allen from running? How does he stop the second play when Allen moves around? As for Miami, look, Miami's not going to have all their players, which affects them, but they still have Tyreek Hill. How well he'll be, we don't know. We saw him in a boot, unfortunately, when he had to go home because of the fire at his house. But he's not 100%, or you wouldn't be wearing a boot on a Wednesday. But this is a game where Miami's going to have to run the ball. They couldn't really do it the last time they played. This offensive line is beat up, but they're going to have to block. Daquan Jones was unblockable in the first game. Unblockable. He really created the havoc in that game. If he's healthy and does the same thing, it's going to be hard for Miami's offense, which we've seen Miami's offense. In all honesty now, if you really pay close attention, 5 field goals against Dallas, right, at home.
Yep.
3 of them outside of 50 yards, right? So, you know, we have not seen this explosive offense that we were accustomed to going back in time. And, you know, their key is they can't turn this over. They can't. But when you watch them closely now, this is not the same team. And if Buffalo forces, I'll say this again, if Buffalo forces 12 or more third downs, they'll win the game.
You know, I asked you this question last week and it ended up kind of blowing up in our faces because Baltimore just ran away with the thing here. But is this perhaps maybe an under type of game here? Because you mentioned Buffalo's struggles offensively. Miami is a little bit banged up and they haven't really been executing on all cylinders offensively. The total's at 48.5 here. I know it doesn't feel that great to bet an under in a game with Josh Allen and then all the weapons and Tua and Tyreek and all that stuff on the Dolphins side. But based on how these two offenses enter this contest, I don't know if we're going to get a lot of points.
It's a playoff game, Femi. I mean, I know Miami doesn't view it because Miami's in.
Yep.
But if Buffalo wins, Miami, what, becomes the 6th seed? And, you know, and now they've got to go play Kansas City. So this is, for all intents and purposes, this is a playoff game. If Miami wins, they'll play Pittsburgh, right? So what happens with Jacksonville? So, you know, this is a playoff game. This is a huge, huge playoff game. And I think, to me, when you know that, and Buffalo is running the football way more effectively than they are throwing it. I mean, that's just a fact. They're not able to make the explosive plays in the passing game. We saw him last week with Kincaid. He made the big play down the field. But this has all been about Allen's feet, and he's got to protect the football. He leads the league in interceptions by quarterback since 2018. He's got to do a great job of protecting the ball and making those critical plays. And I don't know what's going on. They brought up Leonard Fournette, which tells me, you know, between Cook and Fournette, they want to run the ball. They're scared to death of Cook fumbling, right? Yeah. They're scared to death of that. And that's why he wasn't in the game at the end of the game last week. They don't want him to turn it over. But they're going to have to figure out this Stephon Diggs thing because they just can't seem to get him the football. He's had 152 targets. He's got 100 catches. He averages just 11 yards a catch. 11 yards a catch. And he has a 53% success ratio. Those numbers are not good.
Yeah, they got to get him the football. Ever since Joe Brady's taken over as the coordinator, they've ran the ball more, like you mentioned, but Stephon Diggs, his production has gone down here. If Buffalo were to lose this game here, Michael, let's say Jacksonville wins and Buffalo loses and they're out of the playoffs. Would you really like Baltimore against the field in the AFC, or do you think Miami would be their biggest challenger, or are we sleeping on Kansas City and Mahomes and Reed out there for this AFC conference?
Well, I mean, I think you have to play Buffalo. You would take Miami. You would take the Ravens against the field because the way Lamar's playing, you know, other than Josh Allen, what quarterback's going to play him? And Miami's a wounded team right now, unfortunately. I think the team that's scary to most teams is Cleveland. Nobody wants to play Cleveland's defense. And Cleveland's offense has weathered the storm of injuries. Their line's back. It's not 100%. But they've kind of weathered the storm. I think Cleveland, somebody asked me the other day, somebody in the league asked me who I thought the second best team was in the AFC after the Ravens, and I said the Browns. I think because look, what wins, we saw it last night, what wins come playoff time? Teams that convert third and short, teams that can play good defense, teams that can get off the field on third down. Those are the things the Browns can do. And Flacco, I know he makes mistakes. I know he turns it over. But he's gotten the ball down the field. And they have a passing game with Flacco. They'll call a game like it's a normal game. When you only call 28 passes for Deshaun Watson and you call 42 for Joe Flacco and you're not behind in any game, that tells me really clearly that you believe you can do more with Flacco than you could with Watson in terms of your offense. And so I think they're a dangerous team. Look, they're going to play. They may have a date with Jacksonville. They may have to go back down to Houston. They beat Houston down there. They beat Jacksonville. I mean, they lost to Jacksonville home.
Yeah, they beat Jacksonville. Cleveland beat Jacksonville.
They beat Jacksonville. They beat Houston. No, they lost to Houston down there.
They swept the entire AFC South.
Right. So they beat, and then we saw them beat Indy with PJ Walker. Yep. So like they're. You know, I mean, why wouldn't they be? Why wouldn't they feel confident going down there?
You know, the reason why I asked you that question, and I don't know if we could put up the AFC championship odds once again from DraftKings, because right now Baltimore, of course, is the favorite as the one seed. They're +135, but Buffalo's +380. I think if you're watching the early window and it looks like Jacksonville is going to be able to take care of business, there's a chance to where, yeah, like Buffalo's favored, but they're only a 3-point favorite. If they lose, we're talking about the team that the market says is the second most likely team to win the conference might not make the playoffs. So just from like a win probability standpoint here, Baltimore grabbing +135, if it looks like Jacksonville might take care of business, could be a solid look if you like Miami in the game Sunday night. That's just something I think that just to keep in mind here, that it can get real high leverage here for the Bills if the Jags end up winning and they end up making the playoffs there if Miami were to knock them off. So I think the path would be nice for the Ravens if they're able to get in this thing and Buffalo doesn't get in. But obviously that's it's a lot of if-then statements, but I think it's something that you got to consider.
Well, I think you do. I mean, look, the Ravens have proven how many games have they gone into the fourth quarter with the lead, right? I mean, how they've responded really well against a superior team, San Francisco. They win that on the road. They come back. Everybody thinks they're going to have a bad letdown game against Miami. They dominate Miami. I mean, they lose to Indianapolis in overtime. We saw that was a game. They've got a 14-point lead against Cleveland at home, and they let that one slip away. I mean, everybody they've kind of plucked out of the way, and we all sit here and said Lamar's going to be the MVP, and certainly he deserves it. He is the best player, but he hasn't even had anywhere near the numbers that he had when he won the MVP.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's another level he can get to, too, in terms of his game. You got to like Baltimore. You really do. You have to like their team, the way they play, the way they game plan, too. The strategy that they invoke upon to play, I think, is really important, too. Plus, every time the play breaks down, you know Lamar can make something happen. And this idea that he can't win in the playoffs, to me, is really comical. It really is. Because I think this offense is more suited to what his skill set is. in terms of throwing the ball in the middle of the field and being able to handle that. I think that's really the key.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know how that goes. Everybody's a choke artist until they actually win it. That's how we talk about these things here. But I think just from an investment standpoint, maybe grabbing some Baltimore plus 135, if Buffalo were to not make it, or if they were to get into a win and in or lose and out situation, could be key. Because I mean, the Ravens will be a decent sized favorite in that divisional game. Even if they're playing Cleveland, you could potentially go ahead and take the points with the Browns, or you can kind of play around with this thing to try to get a middle and make a little bit of a profit. Just a little, you know, something just to keep in mind there with the Ravens and the AFC.
I don't think whatever we get tonight at 11 o'clock Eastern time, when it's all said and done, I do not think the seeding is going to go as planned. I think in the NFC, there's teams that probably, speaking of the Rams particularly, if the Packers get in, the way they're playing offensive football right now, you know, I don't think the seeding is going to be as direct as it typically, one's going to play four, two's going to play three in the divisional round. I don't see that. I think these wild card teams have a good a chance to beat the divisional leader, because we know there's, from the South particularly, you know, Houston gave up over 200 yards on the ground yesterday. I mean, we know there's weaknesses in these teams.
Yeah, and especially on the NFC side, if Green Bay and LA make it, those are two pretty explosive passing attacks to where they could put the fear in some of these home division winners, like if it's a Detroit or a Dallas there in that wild card round, and maybe upset the apple cart and open things up in both of these conferences there, Cleveland probably being the number one team in the AFC from the wild cards that could potentially do that. We mentioned the Green Bay Packers. We'll discuss their game on the other side. They're hosting the Chicago Bears, where all they have to do is beat their rival at home and they're into the postseason. Will they do it? We'll answer that question next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. All you got to do is check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. You can sign up for it all for $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We're rolling along here, week 18, NFL Sunday, final day of the regular season. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi here. And what a game we have. NFC North clash at Lambeau Field later on this afternoon. The Green Bay Packers. The consensus number is 2.5 heavily juiced, but at DraftKings, the Packers favored by 3, total 45.5. But this morning, bear down. Chicago has been getting bet all morning long here with a lot of interest in this Bears team.
Yeah, the Bears were the early pick early in the week, right? They opened up 3.5. It got back down to 3, stayed at 3 for pretty much most of the week, even though the Packers had the best injury report of the year, right? I mean, the Packers are actually finally, they're fairly healthy for this game, so which is a tremendous sign. And, you know, they're going to have Watson up. They have a chance. They'll have Watson. They'll have Reed. You know, they're going to have all their defensive players, Walker, Devontae Campbell supposedly going to dress for the game. So this is going to be their best game. And look, the sting of last year, the embarrassment of losing at home to Detroit with nothing to play for and you have everything to play for, it's not going to go well if you don't win this game if you're the Packers. I mean, LaFleur and staff are going to be under tremendous heat, especially considering that in the week one game, you dominated this team, and you're playing better now than you were then, at least offensively. Jordan Love is playing really well. That game, the Bears were a 2.5-point favorite, if you remember that, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the Packers come in there with uncertainty at offense, and they just really did a wonderful job of being able to throw the ball. They threw for 245. They ran the ball effectively, and they were able to really slow down the Bears' rushing attack and their ability to make any kind of plays down the field. So this is one that I really think a lot of people just assume the Bears are going just kind of play well. But I go back to the Bears game against the Browns. Not that the Packers defense is as good as the Browns. When they've got to go on the road and play a defense that will attack the quarterback a certain way, inside out, that becomes problems for them, and he's going to have to prove he can throw the football. Last time they played the Packers, he was 3 for 13 on third down.
Yikes. That's not good. And one thing you've talked about all week long is that when LaFleur and Joe Barry get to see a team multiple times, these divisional opponents, or if it's a team that they're familiar with, the staff that they're familiar with, they tend to have really good game plans, as we saw New Year's Eve against Minneapolis, or against Minnesota there in Minneapolis. Like they're familiar with what Chicago and Eberflus want to do. So that's also another thing kind of might tips the scales in Green Bay's favor.
Well, you know, what happens is people don't take that into account. I'm, you know, like for whenever LaFleur plays against certain coaches, sometimes he's really good. So, like when he goes against Martindale, I think when he was at Tennessee as the offensive coordinator before he became the head coach of the Packers, he was 0-for-10 on third down against the Baltimore Ravens one game. He had no idea what Martindale was trying to do with him in terms of attacking the protections. Whereas when you watch the Bears game, he's very comfortable calling plays against Matt Eberflus. Last week, he was very comfortable calling plays against Brian Flores. Brian Flores ended up playing battleship football in that game. He couldn't create a play he wanted to create with his defense. He was looking at his play sheet saying, where am I going here? What can I do here? And I think that's kind of what I see today. LaFleur will be confident. I think Love has thrown the ball really effectively. And if the Bears don't get turnovers, I think it's going to be really hard for the Bears to win this game. Can they execute a passing game? Can they make plays if they get behind in this game? And I think that's going to come down to it. What happened in Cleveland, even though they had the turnovers that Flacco was willing to give them, they turned it over as well. And last 2 weeks, we haven't seen Justin Fields turn the ball over.
Yeah, Chicago's defense has really been the story here in the second half of the season. They've held opponents to fewer than 20 points in five straight games, and they have the NFL's number one rushing defense in terms of fewest yards allowed per game at 84 yards per game. Like, this defense has really kind of had this resurgence, which has probably saved Matt Eberflus's job, but we'll see what happens with Justin Fields. The Bears have the number one overall pick that has been clinched after the way Carolina played this season. So a lot of options for Chicago to maybe move on from Fields. They have a lot of cap space. This is a big game here for Fields as well. Like, if he beats the Packers, I'm sure there's gonna be more "we want Fields" chants from the fan base. We'll see what the organization ultimately does, though.
That's an interesting conversation. So every time, I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people in the league, and that's one of the first questions: what are you doing with Fields? And there's no hesitation. Like, there's no hesitation. Like, that, like, you might think it's a tough decision. The people I talk to in the league, that there's no hesitation. Like, they know they need a passer, and no one's willing to pay $100 million for the quarterback. So, you know, to me, the media's make it out to be a hard decision. They have value in Fields. Don't get me wrong. There's value. Some teams may come in and play them. But Fields' problems in terms of throwing the football effectively, being able to really throw it. Look, you know, he goes into Cleveland, he throws for 148. You know, we're talking, this win streak is a lot about their ability to protect the ball and this Bears' ability to turn the ball over. And that's going to be the key today.
It's going to be a fascinating game here. I think Green Bay gets it done. We'll get into what you think coming up when we run the board in about 40 minutes here, but I think it's going to be a very, very fascinating game. For the Chicago Bears, they've covered five straight conference games and have won, of course, four of their last five, but they have yet to beat the Packers. Haven't beaten the Packers since 2018. It's been a while for the Chicago Bears. All right, the other NFC North game in Detroit, the Lions, 4-point favorites, total 47 here. We're still touch and go, I guess, about whether Detroit's going to play everybody for the entire duration of this game here. Obviously, Dan Campbell said they're going to play the starters, but the market seems a little bit skeptical because we would not be seeing four if this was an authentic game here for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, what would you think the number would be?
I think this would be like six and a half. I think it might be set. They were about 2.5 or almost three in Minnesota a couple weeks ago.
It was a three. I mean, I think this is the problem you run into. You're going to get backdoor cover. I mean, look. I don't trust Nick Mullen to protect the football.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Campbell wants his team to play well. I don't think he wants to go into the playoffs losing two in a row. Forget about how you lost the first one, and maybe you shouldn't have lost that, but I don't think he wants to go into playoffs having lost two in a row. I think they're going to play. I think they're going to try to play as well as they can. And once again, you can't sit everybody. Now, does that mean Bridgewater might not come in and play? He might come in. But Bridgewater's a veteran guy. They're going to manage the game with him, you know. And so you got Nick Mullen over there who can't manage the game, who's trying to get, you know, he's going to throw the ball to the other team as sure as anything. So I'm surprised this line lingered at 3.5. Now, there's a lot of professional money has come in on Minnesota. Minnesota is not only the popular pick in terms of the pros, but it's also a public pick here. I mean, the line's moving to Detroit, and really it's kind of like a reverse line movement here. There's really not money coming in on Detroit.
I mean, they got my money on Detroit. I laid three earlier in the week. We talked about this game yesterday.
You probably moved the number, though. You put so much on it, you probably moved it to four.
Let's slow down a little bit, all right?
Yeah.
But we talked about it yesterday.
They see you coming in that book. They run and hide, you know.
I come in with the duffel bag. Give me Detroit laying the three.
Duffel bag boy. Yeah. They see you coming, man. They go and hide.
I don't think that's what happens, but maybe. Who knows? We said we'd lay 3.5 yesterday. So if you were watching on our Saturday show, you would have gotten 3.5. It's now 4. Obviously, that's not the most massive move, but hey, you know, we try to give out good advice, and we gave it out earlier yesterday. How about this Kansas City and Chargers game? You had it on the Hall & Oates play, and I agree with you. Somebody, though, likes Kansas City in this. We're now down to 3 with the Chargers 3-point favorites. The hooks are all gone. Total's at 35. There might be 35 people in attendance at this game as well.
Well, I think this. I mean, look, let's be clear. Would you rather bet Blaine Gabbert or Easton Stick? I think it's as simple as that. I kind of do, right? Like, I don't trust Blaine Gabbert, but you can't trust Easton Stick either. And then what's the motivation? We saw the Chargers just flat out quit in Las Vegas a month ago. Do you think they're going to play really hard today, knowing that the season, you know, they're checking out? I can remember we were playing a team. We played Seattle in 94 at home in Cleveland Stadium. And we're walking, you know, in pregame warm-up, you're talking to people. And I asked one of the Seattle people there, they said, oh, yeah, we're going to do our exit physicals immediately in the locker room after the game so the players don't have to fly back to Seattle to go home. I'm like, I went and told Ozzie, I said, Ozzie, we got this game. This is in the bag. You can forget about this thing, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I worry about the Chargers. Like, they're like Fred Flintstone. They got 1 foot out the door here.
Huh? This is a potential 1-2-3 Cancun situation going on here for the Los Angeles Chargers. The tee times are booked. The vacations are booked. All they have to do is get past those exit physicals and exit interviews, I'm sure, tomorrow. And then off we go for the vacation. And for Kansas City, yeah, like Mahomes is not going to play. Kelsey, I'm sure he's going to play like a series. I think he has an incentive that he wants to hit.
He's going
to
get it. Yeah, Chris Jones is going to get his sack.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then that, like we saw with Baltimore, they're going to rotate him through. Now, Jones may not be in the rotation. He'll be initially in the game to get his sack. Same thing with Nacua. Nacua's not going to be in the rotation when the Rams play either. He's going to get his catches and get out.
And shout out to Jadeveon Clowney, who got his $750,000 yesterday as well, getting his sack on Mason Rudolph. He was celebrating. That was a pleasant sight to see. All right, on the other side, we'll get to the NFC East. Dallas, a big road favorite. Philly, a favorite on the road. Who's going to win the division? We'll discuss it next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abefefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, and they will get the NBA League Pass for the rest of the season. What a fantastic deal that is. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. We're hooking you up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abefefe, Michael Lombardi, Week 18 NFL Sunday. I'm looking at one of the pregame shows here, Michael, and we're getting some snow showers in the Meadowlands for Eagles-Giants. So that game kicks off 4:25 Eastern, 1:25 Pacific. Eagles 5-point favorites, and the total's at 43. But it's snowing on old Sal Palantonio out there in the Meadowlands. So, hey, you know, maybe we'll get a little bit of weather out there in the Meadowlands.
I think it'll clear by game time because right now I'm south. I'm about 90 minutes south of him or 2 hours south of him, and we have sunshine here. So it's cold. It's windy. I think the wind is going to be the factor in this game, and there's going to be scoreboard watching, right? We're going to pay it. I mean, the Eagles are going to pay attention to what's going on down in our nation's capital to see what Dallas is doing to a Washington team that, you know, you think they're going to the Super Bowl. They're not playing anybody. I mean, Sam Howell's going to play, but they got a bunch of guys. I mean, Jonathan Allen, they're just resting guys. What are we resting for? I have no idea. But, you know, that's one that I think the Eagles know what's going to be the outcome of that game as Dallas takes it very seriously. Look, there's a couple places that's interesting, right? A lot of pressure on Mike McCarthy to win playoff games. A lot of pressure on Sean McDermott to get in the playoffs, right?
Yep.
A lot of pressure on Doug Peterson to win this game. Sometimes that pressure becomes a little bit overwhelming for teams and they don't handle it well. And this is what week 18 is about. You know, do you handle the pressure? I thought last week Tampa played way too conservatively offensively against the Saints, you know, and got behind in the game and really couldn't. They were a little bit behind. I think that's going to be something we have to see here today. You got to play. You kind of got to let it go a little bit. Thought Indianapolis for the most part last night. I mean, you know, the mismanagement at the end of the game by Shane Steichen. They're going to blame the running back. But at the end of the day, Steichen's got to stand in front of his team and say, look, Nico Collins was the only receiver they had, but we had no problem giving him 200 yards. And when the game was on the line, we couldn't execute in short yardage, third and one or fourth and one.
Yeah, despite having run the ball really well with Jonathan Taylor having one of his better games since 2021 last night there for Indianapolis. In terms of the actives and inactives, just the one that we want to hit before we get to these NFC East games.
Yeah,
Trevor Lawrence,
yeah,
Trevor Lawrence is active for Jacksonville, but Christian Kirk is inactive. So they activated him to the roster. He's coming off of that core injury that he suffered in the Monday night loss to Cincinnati. He's inactive. They say the hope is he can return for the postseason if Jacksonville wins this game. Of course, if they win, they will host the Cleveland Browns next week in the wild card game. But Christian Kirk inactive, Trevor Lawrence though active, and right now the market is at Jacksonville 3.5 point favorites, but the 3.5s are getting bet. We have a 3 in the market at multiple places, so the market doesn't care that Lawrence is playing. They like Tennessee.
Well, how about this one? Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke's inactive.
Ooh.
Today Desmond Ridder will be your starting quarterback in Atlanta. Didn't see that one coming, although we knew Ridder, we knew that Heineke didn't practice all week. You know, he's been dealing with it. He was officially ruled inactive today, and you're going to get Desmond Ridder on the road who, you know, look, he's a turnover. He's like a lot of these young guys. There's some good plays that he makes, but there's too many bad plays. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of line movement this is. I think it's leaning towards 3.5 right now. There's a book that has it at -3/120. So I think if you like New Orleans and you want to play this now, you better get it. I think the threes are going to go up to 3.5 before we get done doing this show when the great Brent Musburger takes over.
Yeah, now is definitely the time. If you like the New Orleans Saints here, for me, you know how we feel about Saints as favorites, as Dennis Allen and Derek Carr. You know how we feel. It's been documented all season long.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, you can't, you know, they can't run the foot. You know, if they can run the ball, Atlanta against New Orleans, they always have. Last time they played them in Atlanta, Atlanta was able to run the football and they won 24-16. And they, you know, obviously they created some problems with their defense. But that's going to be the key is for Atlanta to win, they have to run the football. The problem with Atlanta is they have no identity. You can't tell me who Atlanta is. You can only tell me they have really good players, although they have no real team speed. That's the other thing about the myth about Atlanta. When you really study them, they don't have any explosive take it off the top players. They got some really good players, but nobody you sit there and say, well, we got to protect the vertical route here. We got to handle this. Mac Hollins is their best vertical receiver.
Yeah, that's why we've seen him get a bunch of targets there, despite Drake London, a really good player, but he's not a burner. He's not one of those speed guys. They're more of a possession guy as a bigger guy. And Kyle Pitts, I mean, they've been trying to get him the football for 3 years now, as well as Bijan Robinson. Was step in line here, Bijan. You're not going to get the football either. James Palmer of NFL Network spoke with Trevor Lawrence. He said, quote, he's feeling good and we're going to let it rip is what Lawrence said there. So Lawrence said, hey, there's no limitations with the shoulder. Division title on the line. We'll see what happens between Tennessee and Jacksonville. But you mentioned the scoreboard watching with the Philadelphia Eagles, who right now are 5-point favorites, total 43. No Devontae Smith in this game. He's already been ruled out with the ankle injury. We'll see if he's able to give it a go next week, whether they're hosting a playoff game or on the road against the NFC South champion. But is this maybe a potential in-game betting situation here? So let's say maybe Philadelphia is up by 10 at halftime. They go into the locker room. They see that Dallas is up 17 or 21. And when you start to see Philly pull those starters, you maybe kind of have an opportunity to in-game bet the New York Giants if Eagles are going to kind of just take the foot off the gas and just realize that they're going to be the 5 seed. Like, it feels like you can kind of almost have these games on. They're simultaneous, but you can kind of almost live bet these games as well based on what Philly does with their starters.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's why I took the Giants and Russo as one of my plays, because I feel like the Giants are going to try everything to win. I think the Giants want to try to kind of get the bitter taste of that loss last week out of their mouths. Although they brought Mason Crosby back up to kick again. Hold your breath on that one, Femi.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles are going to do what Baltimore did last night. They're going to rotate guys through. And I think once they feel like that that they're not going to be the two seed, which I think they feel like that going into the game, especially when if you're Howie Roseman and you see Washington's an active list and their inability to cover even when they're at full strength, you have to believe that unless Dallas turns this thing over, there's no chance. So I think if that gets out of hand, you'll see more Mariota in the second half than you will. Look, one thing we know about the Eagles, they have never been shy about resting players.
Oh, yeah.
Never been shy. You know, they know that for them to win, they're going to have to go on the road, and they want to make sure they're healthy. It's a little bit what McVay's doing. McVay doesn't care about whether he's the sixth or the seventh seed. McVay cares about having Stafford, having Aaron Donald, having all his good players healthy and ready to go, and then let it rip.
Yeah, and right now the Rams are 4-point dogs against the 49ers. Total is at 40. It'll be Carson Wentz versus Sam Darnold in this game here. The first Carson Wentz action that we'll get to see here in 2023, or now we're in the year 2024, but 2023 season, you know what I mean. The Niners, though, impressive. Our producer Elliot put this in the rundown. They've been favored in 25 straight regular season games, second longest active streak in the NFL, only behind the Kansas City Chiefs, who were favored in 27 straight. That Chiefs one will come to an end today as they're an underdog against the Los Angeles Chargers. But is this just which team has the better depth? And when you look at the rosters, it has to be San Francisco, right?
Yeah, I think so. When they go to backups, right? You know, and again, you can only go to so many backups. I think clearly the 49ers, and they're going to dress their guys. They're going to rotate them through. They're not going to play everybody. But I do think they have more ability to play with their backups. And the other thing is, too, is what kind of game plan can they put in for Wentz? He just got there a month ago. They're not going to be a lot of things they can do. It's going to be hard to run the ball on San Francisco. So I think in terms of the way I handicap this game and why I took the Niners is I really think the Rams want to get this thing over with and move on to next week.
And as of note, Puka Nacua is 4 receptions and 10 receiving yards away from setting the NFL rookie records in both of those categories. My guess is that, I mean, the first series, I mean, how many targets is Nacua getting? 4, 5, maybe 6?
Oh, yeah. It's in the script. It's already in the script because they want to get him out of there. They don't want to get him hurt. I mean, he has a propensity, and he's a tough kid. He's played through it this year, but he has a propensity to get kind of beat up. So they got to keep him healthy. He makes them a better team. There's no question.
And a hell of a season there for Puka Nacua. Probably going to end up finishing second to CJ Stroud after everybody saw the game last night, and Stroud was just unbelievable. He'll likely be your offensive rookie of the year. Stroud, I mean, when you watch him play, like, we didn't talk about this a bunch in the first hour because we were kind of playing a little bit of catch up, but he has superstar potential when you see him, Michael. Like, I watch the guy, it's like, that's what it's supposed to look like. When he drops back, the ball comes out really nice. He plays on time, anticipation, all the things that we want from a quarterback.
Yeah, from his first pass in New England where he didn't even throw the out to where he is today is remarkable. You know, he really has. He's grown. He's played really well. You know, I would say to you, they made Aiden O'Connell look like Peyton Manning the other day. So I think to me, you got to be – I think Stroud's going to be great, but that's not his biggest test right there, I could tell you that, because that Colt defense is really just – it can't wait to make you look good.
We have to factor in the level of competition, being the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, I mean,
Colts
they just give – there's so many easy throws. There's so many easy throws. Second and 20. Okay, I'll throw the ball out to Schultz. Oh, we're supposed to make the tackle. We don't. Now it's third. Now it's second and – now it's third and 4. And then you get another easy throw on third and 4. Like, the Colts have no one to blame for losing that game, but their scheme, their game management, and their decision-making.
Now they're going home, and the Indianapolis Colts will not be in the playoffs, and it'll be the Houston Texans as the 7th seed, or maybe the 4th seed, pending what happens between Jacksonville and Tennessee. We'll run down the board to wrap up the show on the other side.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abefefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving for every game. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today. Just $9.99 to become part of the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here of the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Family of BetBuffet, Michael Lombardi. You want to stick with us, though, at the top of the hour, Brent Musburger's countdown to kickoff, as he will get you set here for the final hour of the DraftKings Network pregame power-up, and we'll begin then our final day of the regular season. 14 games, Michael, 6 early, 7 late afternoon, 1 on Sunday Night Football. For the final time this regular season, let's go ahead and run down the board here, Michael. And we'll start in New Orleans, where the New Orleans Saints are 3-point favorites against the Atlanta Falcons. Total 41.5. Both these teams fighting to keep their NFC South title hopes alive.
Yeah, I mean, I think this one's with Desmond Ridder, now the starting quarterback for Atlanta. You got to favor the home team, I think, here. I think I would lay the points and take the Saints, only because I think that at this moment, you know, they can turn the ball over. The Saints defense has an opportunity. I know you want to take the points, especially in a low total game like this on the road. I don't trust Ridder to make good decisions when it comes time. Remember when he played in Carolina and threw that horrendous interception in the rain? That kind of lingers in my mind. So I, as much as I don't want to do it, I would lay the points and take the Saints.
I think if I had to bet the game, I'd just bet New Orleans money line, and not even just bet them to win the game, not have to win by 4, 5, 6, just bet them on the money line. How about the game that you have a play on there? The Cleveland Browns at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, 7.5 is our spread. The Bengals, the favorite, total 37.
Yeah, this is strictly a play where I think I truly believe that, you know, Jeff Driscoll is going to have a limited playbook. Now, I know T. Higgins isn't dressed today for the Bengals, but I think Jake Browning is going to want to play well. I think that Zach Taylor has come out and said, we are going to play and we're going to play well. He's coming back next year. It fits my profile on what I look for. I know it's a lot of points. It's dangerous. I understand that. But I just don't think the Browns are going to care very much. I think they're going to rest a lot of their guys throughout the game, play their backups as much as they can. Myles Garrett's not going to dress. So I think as a depleted team, I think the Bengals want to win at least one of these games against the Browns this year. They got blown out in week one. I think they're the team that's going to do the blowing out this week.
Yeah, I think Cleveland has no interest in this game. They're looking ahead to who they play in the AFC South in the wild card game. Jets at the Patriots, perhaps maybe Bill Belichick's final game as New England Patriots head coach. New England a 2-point favorite. The total 28.5. This will be the lowest in NFL history, rather the lowest since 1993 in the NFL.
Well, there's some 1.5s out there if you like it. I mean, you can go money line here. I'm going to take New England just because I think the Jets lead the league in fumbles at 29. Bailey Zappi can't wait to turn it over just to match the Jets fumble. I'm sure this will be a comedy of errors between both teams. But I do think this Patriot team, you could see it in pregame warm-up. They came out wearing Matthew Slater jerseys for captain. I think there's a lot of pride in that locker room. We've seen it over the last second half of the season where they've competed, haven't played well, but competed. I'll take the Patriots against a Jet team that has mailed it in.
Yeah, my only advice for people would be don't tease this game. This could easily be Patriots 9, Jets nothing. Like, don't tease this game. It's the weather makes it too crazy. Jacksonville, with their playoff hopes on the line, win and they win the division, lose and they're out. They're 3.5-point favorites, but the 3.5s are getting bet against Tennessee. Total 41.5.
I think with Ryan Tannehill, I'll take Tennessee. I think at least they have some confidence of offense. I think they will run the ball. I mean, I think Tennessee, and I think Vrabel wants to make a point. I think Tennessee, look, the number was 5.5, so you're getting the worst of the number. I lean towards Tennessee, take the points, because I do think they'll play hard.
Trevor Lawrence, of course, banged up, but he's active. He said he's going to let it rip out there today. The Detroit Lions are 4-point home favorites against Minnesota, total 47.5. Detroit won't know their seeding until the late afternoon window there, but they're 4-point favorites nonetheless.
I feel like, and I felt this all week, I didn't play it in Russo because I even though I feel it, I can't be certain. I like Detroit. I think Detroit wants to play well going in. I think there's something about momentum. I think they want to play well going into the final game of the year. And I think they will. And I think that this Minnesota defense and Minnesota offensively with Nick Mullins at quarterback, no TJ Hockenson, I think it favors Detroit. Detroit, you can't run the ball in Detroit. Playing at home, Mullen in a dome stadium, I don't like that at all. I'll take the Lions and lay the points.
I agree with you too. I laid it earlier in the week at a better number, but I'd still lay 4 as well. We wondered what the buy point would be on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Apparently it was 3.5 because the Tampa money showed up here this morning. It's now 4.5. There's even a 5 in the market as well against Carolina on the road. Bucks win and they win the division, total 36.5.
Well, look, I mean, the Panthers have one shoe out the door, right? Two shoes out the door. They can't wait for the season to get over. They're no different than the Chargers, right? They played poorly last week, and I don't think they care if they play poorly this week. Nobody's going to watch it other than David Tepper, their owner. So I could see it. It makes sense that people want to play Tampa. But, you know, you know what kind of Tampa will we see? Will Baker protect the football? They played earlier in the year. It was a three-point game. And it wasn't like Carolina was playing very well at that point, and they're not playing well now. I think I lean towards taking the Panthers and the points here.
It's interesting that money has just been waiting all week long, and now it finally showed up. Let's go to the afternoon slate here. The Cowboys are 13-point favorites, but there's 13.5s that are starting to pop up in the market, total 47, as they take on the Commanders.
Well, there's only one play here. You either take the Cowboys and pray that that you don't get backdoor covered, or you just skip the game. So I would take the Cowboys and just pray I don't get backdoor covered here.
How about the Rams, who are 4-point dogs against the Niners? I know this is a play that you have here, San Francisco, a 4-point favorite, total 40.
I like the 49ers here. I like the home team. I think their depth is better. Again, both teams don't want to, you know, it doesn't affect either team. Clearly the Rams have made the statement. They're not interested. Carson Wentz, what kind of playbook, what kind of offense can they run with him? I think there's pride in the 49ers team. I think they'll want to play well. I think McVay wants to get on to the next opponent. And so I'm going to take advantage of that mindset and lay the points and take the 49ers.
The Eagles are 5-point favorites in the Meadowlands against the Giants, total 43.
I took the Giants and Russo because of the same thing. I felt like it's time to, you know, that at some point in this game, the Eagles will say, okay, in goes Marcus Mariota. Let's get Lane Johnson out of the game. Let's get Kelsey out of the game, and let's go. Whereas I think the Giants are going to want to try to play. My concern is the Giants brought up Jacob Fromm this week. Is Tyrod Taylor not healthy? They put him on the active roster. That worries me a little bit, why this number hasn't moved down. Is Tyrod going to play? I'm told he will play. The back injury showed up on the medical, on the injury report this week. It concerns me, but I still took the Giants.
Packers are 3-point favorites at home against the Bears. Win and in for Green Bay, total 46.
I like the Packers. I really do. I know it goes against the grain, but I took the Bears early in the week on McAfee because I thought it was the right side. Then the more work I've done on the game, I just think the Packers, this is a big moment. This is a big game for LaFleur. This will be a tough offseason for the Packers if they don't win this game. A very difficult offseason. So, and I know there's a lot of pressure on them, but they're healthy, and I think their quarterback's playing really well right now. So I'm going to go with that. I think the Bears are playing well, but you could attack the Bears secondary if you understand how to do it. And I think they won the opener. I think LaFleur knows how to attack this Bear defense.
Seattle needs a little bit of help. They need the Bears to win, and they need to win to go ahead and get to the playoffs. They're 3-point favorites against the Cardinals, total 47.5.
How do you trust anything about Seattle, right? But I do know this. They play Arizona well. For some reason, they do a good job of pressuring the quarterback. They do a good job of keeping him in from making loose plays. So I'll take Seattle and lay the points. I think there is some momentum for Pete. I think Pete likes his back to the wall. I think they'll play well today. We don't know if Pete's coming back. I mean, you know, when you get to Pete's age, you know, I think there's always a question, are you going to return? His enthusiasm is unbelievable. The energy is unbelievable. And I think that'll count something today.
All right, Raiders 3-point favorites against the Broncos, total 37.
I'm going to take the Raiders and lay the points. I mean, I just think the Raiders will play hard for Pierce.
The Chargers 3-point favorites against the Chiefs, total 35.
I can't bet the Chargers. This was a Hall & Oates play for me. I lean towards the Chiefs only because I'm going to take the better quarterback. But again, you know, I think the Chargers, like the Panthers, have one foot out the door.
Sunday Night Football, Buffalo's a 3-point favorite in Miami, total 48.
Give me the points. I'll take Miami here. I think Miami will surprise people. I think Vic Fangio will do a good job. I'm not convinced Buffalo's playing as great a football as everyone's telling us they're playing.
I agree. I took the 3 earlier in the week. It's still out there. That's still what I would recommend here with the Miami Dolphins. Just to recap your plays here, Michael, you're on the Giants plus 5.5, 49ers laying 4, and then the Bengals laying 7. We did it, man. We went through 18 weeks of the regular season. What a time it was.
Well, we'll see you for GM Shuffle tomorrow morning. Thank you, Femi.
GM Shuffle tomorrow morning, and we'll be able to start previewing tomorrow morning on the Lombardi Line the 6 wild card games. The playoffs are already here. That does it for us here. Brent Musburger's Countdown to Kickoff coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.